For nearly half a century, Fidel Castro ruled Cuba. Upon news of Castro's death this past weekend at age 90, residents of Cuba are observing 9 days of mourning. 90 miles away, in Miami, Cubans who fled their country are celebrating in the streets of Little Havana. Santa Barbara area residents and journalist Ana Luis Bardak is the expert on Cuba. She interviewed Fidel Castro twice and is the author of multiple books on Cuba. KCSB's Harry Lawton spoke with Bardak today to get insights on what she calls the Castro dynasty and to find out ways in which Bardak thinks Castro's death will impact day-to-day life in Cuba.
Very little. And no, what listeners have to understand is there is a Castro dynasty, and Fidel always had a full partner in his brother Raul, who ran the armed services. And the two of them were arguably the most successful political partnership, maybe in history, certainly but for the length of it. And the transition was very smooth, as Fidel had promised me in my Vanity Fair interview back in 94. He said, when I go, the transition will be easy. And, well, Fidel's going was anything but easy, but they did immediately announce on July 30th, 2006, that the power had transferred, although they said temporarily, to Raul Castro. At that moment, we all knew that Fidel was dead or dying or about to die, because he would never give up power voluntarily. But true to fashion, he dug down into his powers of will, unknown to any mortal on the planet, and I was able to eke out another 10 years of life, sometimes in a coma, sometimes very ill, sometimes very frail. And he gave his very last speech on April 19th of this year, in which he, true to fashion, true to form, railed against Barack Obama and the U.S. and the empire.
Yes, I was going to say that he's been really quite active as a writer for Granma, I guess, the party publication, and was kind of grumpy, at least, about the idea of a normalization of relations with the United States. He's made that very clear.
Yes, that's true, isn't it? That was the case. However, I do not believe that Raul would do anything that Fidel was 1,000% dead set against. I think he was very happy to have Raul play the host, roll out the red carpet, be the gracious host to Obama. After all, they cannot survive without U.S. dollars, replacing the now lost, defunct government of Venezuela, which is brinking on complete chaos and anarchy and can no longer subsidize Cuba, desperate for U.S. dollars of tourism. But yet, at the same time, Fidel would give his last speech at the Communist Party conference and rail against the U.S. and say, we do not need any gifts. We need nothing from the empire. He was true to form from beginning to end.
Can the normalization of relations, which have begun slowly and cautiously, but inevitably, between the United States and Cuba, can that continue reasonably smoothly, just as the transition, as you mentioned before, within Cuba has proceeded fairly calmly, and in particular with the onset, of course, of a new administration headed by Donald Trump in this country? Trump today is trumpeting, you might say, the idea of that he might row back on this arrangement. What's your opinion about that?
I think, as in the case of Donald Trump, often there'll be a lot of trumpeting, as you say, and there'll be a lot of tweeting. There could be quite a few mad texts. And at the end of the day, I do believe he will tinker with Obama's orders. They were executive orders, which means the next president can undo them if he chooses. But Donald Trump is a businessman, and I'm sure he could get over his concerns if he had a Trump Hotel franchise on the island. Let's remember that Donald Trump in the 90s did send emissaries to Cuba to do exactly that, to look into how to expand the Trump brand in Cuba and to see what kind of hotel possibilities there were. So I don't think we're going to see Donald Trump putting his business interests to the side entirely. There's no evidence of that so far. But he did make a lot of big promises to hardline older Cubans in Florida. That, though, is mitigated by the fact that everybody under 50, according to the polls, is fairly supportive of moving on. Look, everybody has Fidel fatigue, and everybody wants to move on. There's even a higher level of Castro fatigue. But because this is a dynasty, we will go on to Raul. And then, of course, Raul has a son named Alejandro, who's very, very important. And he has a son-in-law who is equally important and who Donald Trump, I must say, said somewhat correctly, Luis Alberto, the son-in-law, the general who runs all, he's the CEO, basically, of the army. And it is true that a big piece of all monies from all tourism and hotels, et cetera, goes through the army. The army is the most important institution in Cuba, and it will continue to be so. I do not think Donald Trump will dismantle the whole shebangy, but he could hold up the U.S. embargo.
I see.
You know, that was scheduled to be voted on, and I don't think that's going anywhere. Remember, that needs congressional approval.
Yeah, precisely. I was going to ask you about the embargo, and I think you're quite right. Certainly, with the Republicans now cock of the walk, really, in Washington, the embargo looks dead for the time
that's
being.
That's not happening.
You've hinted about the need for change and how there will be there may be changes, but the dynasty won't be there forever. But certainly, it's strong at the moment. But I'm wondering about the younger generation of Cubans who obviously want more freedom or elbow room to kind of to get better jobs, get better pay, and perhaps travel rather more. How do you think they're going to fare under an evolution of the regime, I should say?
Look, one of the more troubling factors here has been, by Raul Castro's own admission, is the brain drain, the flood of Cuba's youth, the flood of Cuba's most educated to leave Cuba to get better paying jobs. People still, yes, the tourism sector is booming, but nuclear engineers and physicists do not want to be working for $30 a month, which is the average rate in Cuba. And not unreasonably, they're trying to get out. They are now, for the last year or two, oddly enough, since Obama's overture, it's record numbers. People talk about, it's immigration, Mexicans at the border. It's not Mexicans, it's Cubans that are the big numbers. They are very anxious to get out. They're very worried about the end of what's called wet foot, dry foot, which gives them excellent immigration status to remain here. They're concerned. And by the way, Trump has said that has to go, wet foot, dry foot. So that is a very sad factor. Is that the Cuban youth and Cuban educated people are just leaving in record numbers, and that's really very troubling. Something that Raul Castro has spoken about more than once.
Now, that is a troubling thought, because in the past 30, 40 years, as they've been able to do so, technology and knowledge, and particularly in the area of medicine, the Cubans have been able to export these very positive things to South America, and they've set a sort of model of this. But if the people are going to leave forever, then they're not going to be in a position to offer that service, you might say, to wherever in the world.
Well, their challenges are simply overwhelming. But Cuba has also, I don't think Donald Trump's attitude and style and natural bellicosity and belligerence, which he relishes in, is that's not going to go down well with the Cubans. They tend to withdraw and go into radio silence with that. However, whenever they do see a formidable threat, they do make their adjustments. we saw this when George W. Bush was president, and there was a lot of talk, would he, or rumors, would he invade Cuba after Iraq? Mm-hmm. And Raul Castro had a very different tone, much more helpful. You know, Guantanamo, you can do whatever you want on Guantanamo with those terrorists, if that's what you need to do. You know, they can be accommodating as needed.
That's Cuba expert and Santa Barbara area resident Ann Louise Bardak speaking with KCSB's Harry Lawton on the death of Fidel Castro. To read more of Bardak's writings and interviews with Fidel Castro and Cuba, go to her website, bardakreports.com. And you can find more links to Bardak's work and listen to a replay of this conversation by going to soundcloud.com and search KCSB-FM.